Others might want to add some.
Yeah, I was looking at just those verses also. What does it look like if we are light? And this chapter is very helpful in this regard. Just by the way, walking is a key word in Ephesians. I think there are 7 times that it's there's walking in Ephesians. It starts with chapter 2, that how we used to walk. And then it's used a few times in chapter 4 and 3 times in chapter 5. Walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. And verse 7 starts us out on this journey, what Sam just mentioned. Do not be partakers with them. This is the lowest level of walking as light, but it is an essential characteristic. It means that if darkness has overtaken the room, I can't stay. It means that if everybody else in the room is enjoying their darkness and they're not giving place to the light, they're not waiting for the light to have any impact, I've got to leave. Don't be partakers with the darkness. And let me use verse 4 as a link to this. Look in verse 4, in the middle of the verse, it talks about, you might have the word jesting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The New King James says coarse jesting. Mm-hmm. I looked up this word because it intrigued me, because if it just said don't tell jokes, then at least all 4 of us in the front are in trouble, and maybe some of you too. But it doesn't mean don't tell jokes. It doesn't mean go around being serious all the time. The word means, so interesting, don't be characterized by the well-turned phrase. The well-turned phrase, with the meaning, you said just the word that would be interpreted in the funniest and implication, the vulgar way. You gave a word and it was just the well-turned phrase where everybody said, oh, I see what you're talking about. I see what you did there. And it's, maybe we would say today, the double entendre. Stay out of that kind of conversation. And if everybody's talking that way, leave the room. Or turn off the TV. Or leave the movie theater, even if you paid for the ticket. Some people have one view of going to a movie theater, others have another view, but whatever your view is, or if you rented the movie, don't watch the rest of it, even if you paid a rental fee. If you're hanging around people who, and you can do that just to preserve your own testimony. You don't have to say, I'm going to leave now because I'm a Christian. That might not be the right thing to do, but you leave because it's just not right to stay. Then verse 11, reproving, exposing the works of darkness, having no fellowship with them, that's verse 7. But exposing them, that's like Acts 13 that was mentioned before, saying, yeah, you want to have my opinion? We're doing something wrong here. Let's not keep lying. Let's not be dishonest in our business office. Let's not keep acting this way. Let's not mistreat the people who are disenfranchised in our community. Those people who are don't have power and don't have justice. The Lord Jesus, you want to read an expose of him with the religious leaders, read Matthew 23, and he's saying, woe to you, you do this and you do this and you do this. Mm-hmm. And one time in Luke, he was talking against the Pharisees, and a lawyer stood up and said, Master, do you know, when you're speaking this way, you're reproaching us also. And he was expecting an apology from the Lord, and the Lord said, well, woe unto you lawyers. Let me make it clear, I am talking to you. Think about how John the Apostle said, I know Diotrephes in your midst, and when I come, I'm going to make it right. I wrote another reference down, James 5. James writes to, he writes to rich sinners, rich unbelievers. I don't know if they ever read his letter, but there's a whole first few, about 6 verses or so in James 5. It's not even to Christians. He's saying, woe unto you, you rich people, the Lord of hosts is going to come and judge you. I don't even know if, as I said, those unbelievers read his letter. But if they did, they heard God's voice speaking to them. Sometimes that's what it means to be light. To say, here's God's voice. Not to be demeaning, but to be clear. Mm-hmm. Clear can be, it can make us uncertain whether we should say something, because it is going to put us right out there and say, hey, by the way, I'm not like you. It's going to make it obvious that we're not like the sinners, but that's walking in light.
One thing I would like to add as our time is coming to an end. Look at verse 18. Mm-hmm. And I can speak at length on this verse. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Folks, when we leave here, I know that if you are going to a college, unless it is Christian school and so on, a Christian college, you are going to be going to a culture where drinking is promoted. It's promoted by your professors. It's done by your professors. And it's very easy to conform, very easy to go along with the crowd. This is something that, as we leave, I mean, we're going to wrap it up with other things, but we urge you, do not be drunk with wine. If you want to make a difference in your area, if you want to make a difference, be filled with the Spirit, not be drunk with wine. That is what is going on. I tell you, in the colleges, you know, at the beginning of the week, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Those are the nights when people are out drinking. In fact, people drink almost every night. This is real. You know this is true. But you, the Christian, you a Christian, you got to stay up and say, you know what, I'm not going with you to this thing. I'm not doing it. And that takes courage. It takes like Daniel to have a purpose of heart. You have to make a determination that I am not going to do that by the grace of God. I'm going to lay hold upon Christ and enjoy Christ. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. There's so much joy in enjoying the Lord Jesus. We don't need alcohol to have a good time. We really don't need it to have a good time. That's something that will make a big difference in this world. And with your colleagues, make a big difference. I don't need to be talking about beer to have a good time. That's what my colleagues do all the time. Now, perhaps others may want to wrap up the...
Out of all the people that we mentioned as examples, they're living out their lives in the context of their circumstances. It wasn't special, you know, it wasn't a special calling. It wasn't something, you know, out here that, you know, gave them that distinction. It was right within the context of what they were doing every day. Mm-hmm. We had yesterday, whatsoever ye do. It's in the context of our daily existence, minded that our thoughts and our minds have been transformed to always develop this worldview that God has placed me here. This is God is in control. And I am to be available to do and to speak what he would have me say. And what that means is we have to rid ourselves the idea that, you know, well, who little old me? It's not about little old me. It's about you walking. It's about me walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when it's you and God, that's a majority in any context, wherever we are. But we don't want to, we want to be fair. We want to be fair and we want to be full disclosure. Full disclosure. Yea, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We're not going to send you out there thinking that, okay, go out and make a difference in your community, in your school, in your home, wherever you are, without, wouldn't be fair if we didn't remind you that to choose to live godly will come with some consequences, but we have the comfort and the consolation to know that that's the way it is and that God is able to sustain us and to care for us even in that context.
Let's close in prayer.